The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM with Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Paul in the studio. We have jumping from Exeter and Toaster in the afternoon alongside all-weather action on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. And into the evening, more all-weather action this time on the Poly Track at Kempton. So four meetings to look forward to. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to them is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Mark.
Good man. Another good weekend coming up with the racing at Ascot. We'll have a quick look ahead to that before we get stuck into Thursday. A bit of news as well. We're going to see Flemingstar again, which is good news. Apparently he's aiming for a February return.
Yeah, it's great news. He looked an absolute superstar a couple of seasons ago. Obviously moved stables in the meantime. Yet to take off for Tony Martin, if you like, but given the ability to show, I don't think he's a Gold Cup horse, but you know, he might just find the Irish Hennessy up his street. But there'll be lots of targets for him later in the year. The likes of Punchestown would make a lot more sense than trying to rush him back for something like the Cheltenham Festival, especially with him unproven away from home, essentially.
Yeah, the concern has always been that he doesn't necessarily travel very well, does he? So.
No, that's what his former trainer said, although you got the impression that in his last season he said, oh no, that he wouldn't have a problem with that anymore. But it certainly was an issue in his younger days. He's a little bit of a fretter, the type of horse who wouldn't eat up away from home, and that would be an issue if you're going to take him away for a couple of days to something like Cheltenham. But he's got plenty of options, and you know, let's hope, touch wood, that he comes back to his very best.
Hopefully so. Let's have a quick glance ahead to the weekend as well. Good racing to come from Ascot, including the Ladbroke. We'll move on to that in a moment. But we also have the Long Walk Hurdle, which has had some pretty illustrious winners in the past. We've only got five of them left in the decks here. Abuson, Delarca, Medinas, Rev de Sivilla and Zarkander. Any opinion there at the moment?
I'd love to see Rev de Sivilla win it again.
Yeah.
It's a race that that suits him down to the ground. It's also interesting that... he gets on... He's always got on very well with Richard Johnson, but doesn't have that option now. Dollar Jacob booked for him. And Nick Williams also has Obuson, who was much improved to beat Big Easy in that fixed brush hurdle at Haydock last time out. This is another step up the ladder, of course. Strictly speaking, he's a better horse than Rev de Sivilla these days, but there must be a chance that old Rev is not quite the force of old. He's been well beaten at Otoy in his last couple of starts, although the Grand Prix d'Automne is a huge race that he ran in last time out behind Zarkander. It's very much hard overhead with him. I know one of his owners very well, and it'd be terrific to see him turn the clock back, but I'm not sure he's a betting proposition, to be perfectly honest. It's not the easiest race in the world to get stuck into at this stage.
I suppose it's not, no, and obviously we don't know about the weather either. If it were to come up soft, Rev de Sivilla would come into his own. If it weren't, then Orbison would probably have a better chance. I suppose there's a bit in the paper about the Williams team kind of having opposite opinions, him and his wife, kind of thing.
Well, exactly. Well, Orbison is Jane's horse anyway, yeah. And there's a very interesting operation in that they're not necessarily the most harmonious team. They're an extremely effective team, but that's more because they're at loggerheads an awful lot, and they get progress through, you know, holding very strong opinions and batting them off each other. So this is an interesting clash between the pair. I mean, Aubusson's got no issue with bad ground. He was well beaten on dreadful ground at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, but that was 6 inches of water on top of the track. That wasn't heavy ground. That was a different kettle of fish altogether.
Yeah.
He'd actually been successful on very soft ground at his previous two starts, including at Cheltenham. So it shouldn't be an issue for him because it doesn't get particularly deep at Ascot, even when it is soft. So that clash could be interesting.
Yeah, could be, couldn't it? Yes. The Ladbroke is the big betting race of the day, if you like. Activial is 5-1 market leader at the moment. Second in his Sign of a Victory, who was favourite, now 6-1 second favourite. Sevens for Shelford. Balgarry is 8s with Clondor Warrior. 9-1 for Garde la Victoire. Bayan and Goodwood Mirage and Pyromaniac are all 12-1, and then 16s or bigger for the others. How do you see the Ladbroke at the moment?
I thought the... although it's an interesting contest, I thought the obvious one by miles was the original favourite sign of a victory.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think at his current price looks very reasonable to me. I think he's got more going for him than Activial. Activial clearly could improve another chunk. He looked very good when winning the Adonis at Kempton, and then just wasn't himself when well beaten at Aintree in his next start. But he'd looked very progressive up to that point. The tricky thing is, winning a race like this on your comeback, it's not easy. And I'd rather see a horse show that he's trained on, which Sign of a Victory has. And he's 6-1 for this. He was hugely impressive in beating Dabalan over course and distance last time out, off a mark of 139. Handicapper knocked him at 150. But again, he's one of those horses that he'd been winning easily in novice hurdles. Very unlucky in his final start at Ayr last season when he was virtually brought down at the last and virtually carried off the track on the run-in when travelling best of all. He beat Dawalan and Baradari. I think that's very solid form. I thought Baradari was one of the more interesting ones from an each-way perspective as well for an in-form yard. But Dawalan ran very well at Haydock on his next start. I know he's only fourth that day, but he was doing his best work late in the day. I don't think there's any issue with the strength of the form. And Sign of a Victory seemed to win with an absolute ton in hand that day. Difficult to put your finger on how much he was ahead of the handicapper, but it looked at least a stone to me. And he's 11 pounds higher. I think Nicky Henderson could do with a new champion hurdle. Hope Vanitas seemed to be put in his place last week.
Yep.
Sign of a Victory is the next one to come along from the handicap ranks to hopefully make his mark. The sky's the limit for him, really, and I thought 6-1 was a big price. I know it's a bit of a dull thing to say at this stage, a horse who's been the anti-post favourite for the race, but he's currently not favourite for it.
Yeah.
But he's proven over course and distance. He's proven his fitness. He's still progressive. He's from a yard that does particularly well in the event.
Yeah.
Just ticks a hell of a lot of boxes for me.
He does, yes. And the fact that they've waited, they've obviously protected the handicap mark. They obviously think he's got a massive chance here, don't they? They could have run him a few times in the last few weeks and waited for this.
They were clearly going to go for this straight away.
Yeah.
If you're talking about protecting handicap marks, you could argue that Activial's the really dark one there, in that he got a mark of 137 straight after the Adonis. And Harry Fry hasn't run him this season. It may be that he doesn't want to run him anywhere because he knows that he's so far ahead of his mark. He wants a big prize straight away. But it's always a worry. And I'd want to know how four-year-olds do in this race. I don't think, looking at the results of the Ladbrokes, you have had a four-year-old winner off it. But generally speaking, they're more battle-hardened. Cause of Causes won it in 2012. But he had a hell of a lot of racing for a four-year-old, both in the flat and over hurdles before he took this. And generally speaking, the winners of this are more in the 5 to 7 year old age bracket. And I think my gut feeling is it's a tough task for a horse with as little experience as Activial, because it can be a race with no quarter asked or given. There tends to be plenty of scrimmaging in a field like this, and that's not ideal for an inexperienced horse.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else caught your eye in the news or anything? Or should we move on to matters more pressing and look at...
Let's move on to matters more pressing.
Okay, we'll be getting Rory's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, Rory's picked out three races for us at Exeter, starting in the 120, which is the Connolly's at Redmills Precision Nutrition Handicap Hurdle, which is part of a series qualifier. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. It's a Class 3 event with 7 runners here, and a few of them come into this in winning form, the likes of Loch Nagar and Pull the Cord and Thundering Home. So quite an interesting race, Rory.
It is an interesting race. Of those with recent form, Thundering Home's probably got the toughest task, although he is a dual winner at the track this season. But, his first win came off a mark of 100. He's up to 112 now, although Tom Bellamy claims 5 off that. He's ridden him in all 3 starts, or his last 3 starts anyway. He's got claims again, but I think the one or two that are more progressive than him in the race. Loch Nagar is an obvious one. I think this will start favourite for Venetia Williams. Showed ability without getting his head in front of novice hurdles, but improved on his handicap debut at Utoxeter last time. For a slight change of tactics, he's been ridden prominently in this races, but he made all the running last time out, won by 9 lengths from Wordy's Boy, looking well ahead of his mark, up £7 for that, but clearly still well handicapped and able to progress, and we know that Venetia Williams is in great form at the moment. But I did think that the handicapper had underestimated another handicap debutant here in Pull the Cord for Philip Hobbs. Only had the 2 runs, both in... in novice hurdles, third at Stratford on debut, and then improved to win by 12 lengths over this course and distance last time out, beating a horse called Antar Vogue. Now, the key to the form is the runner-up that day, was beaten 12 lengths and seemed to show improved form himself. Antar Vogue then went to Chepstow next time out and may well have won a strong contest, but for falling at the second last, travelled really well, was still on the bridle when he came down. It looked like it was going to be a three-way go, but he was going at least as well as the other two at that time, despite being quite a big price for that race. That, for me, seems to suggest that the extra form was even stronger than it looked at the time. The handicapper didn't have the option of reassessing. Well, he could have reassessed if he wanted to. He doesn't tend to.
Yeah.
But the chances are that if he'd known what Antar Vogue was going to do on his next start, that he would have rated Pull-A-Cord higher than 1-2-4. And I happen to think he's potentially thrown in off that mark. So he would be my selection in the race.
Okay, Pull-A-Cord then in the 120. The 250 is where we go next. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And, well, it's nearly at 2.5 miles here. And Trickaway is similarly interesting, being trained by Philip Hobbs, won relatively easily last time. And what do you make of that one to start with?
He's got the ability to win this Trickaway, there's no doubt about that, and he did get his head in front at Wincanton last time out, but he doesn't always impress either with his jumping or with his head courage in a finish. So even though he won at Wincanton last time out, beating Golanova, he still looked slightly difficult in doing it, and off a £9 higher mark, he's going to have to find more. He'll also have competition for the lead. He made all the running there. And there's a possibility that the Happy Warrior will press him on the lead. That's the way he's generally been ridden. And I'm a big fan of the Happy Warrior. He's a horse that I think has got a future over fences. He won a bad race last time out at Fosse Lass, but I think most people will take the view that he just scraped home there from a horse who was well beaten at his next start, and the form isn't worth an awful lot. But he's a horse who did well in handicap hurdles last season and has the build of a better chaser. He's out of a decent chaser as well in Martin Mick, who Kim Bailey trained. He's also a big unit, a real chaser in appearance. And although he was disappointing on his chase debut, clearly wasn't fit that day. I fancied him on that occasion at Worcester, ran off a mark of 106, shaped in the race as if he was ring rusty, and improved markedly when second at Taunton on his next start, when he caught a bit of a tartar that day, horse returning from a long absence, who was clearly thrown in, but still had a chance when stumbling badly after the second last and was better than the bare result. It was a messy race at Fosse Lass last time out when he beat River Door, but they had a previous winner well behind them in third that day in that three-runner race. I don't think the messy affair suited him. I think he likes a well-run race. He does tend to take a bit of driving, but Gary Derwin, the £7 claimer, knows him very well. He's ridden him in almost all his starts. And I think he'll be underrated because it was a rather scrappy performance last time out. But he still rated lower than he was on his final start over hurdles last year. A mark of 106 underplays his ability as a chaser. And while he's no good thing here, I think he'll be a value bet. I mean, you read him between the lines a little bit in terms of what the prices will be. But I can see most odds compilers will look at his last run and think badly handicapped, but I disagree.
Okay, moving on to the final race we're going to look at then. This is the 350 at Exeter. This is an amateur riders handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs, 16 of them in the lineup here. So which ones make the shortlist, Rory?
It's quite a big shortlist, actually. There are a surprisingly large number of these in decent form, given it's just a 0-100. So it's a moderate quality affair, but you've got a couple of last time out winners in the shape of Breeden Hill Lad, who's won his last two. Once at Fontwell over 2 mile 6, and then here at Exeter over 2 mile 5. If he learns to settle, Breeden Hill Lab will improve a fair bit more, but he's pulled very hard on his last two starts. Would quite like to see him in a hood, to be honest. I don't think he's badly handicapped off a mark in 94, although Susan Gardner's gone a little bit quiet recently. It has to be said, her horses do tend to run very well at Exeter, which is a local track. But Breeden Hill Lad, he's going to be favourite for this, I think, again. I'm inclined just to look past him with that tendency to pull hard. For all, I think he's still interesting long term.
Okay.
Unfield de Guy also won last time out. That came over 2 miles 3 here, but she is proven over further. She stays 3 miles essentially, and she was strong at the finish when beating Positive Vibes. I didn't think that was a terribly strong event. It was a conditional jockey's novices handicap hurdle. She looked very game in winning it, but she was off the bridle early. And she's gone up a little bit in the weights again, up to a mark of 80. It's still a plater's mark, and she's genuine, so she does still have chances of winning this. And in Michael Legg, she's got one of the better jockeys in the race as well. But I am going to side with, and it'll probably be an each way bet in this race, Martin Keithley's got two. He's got Always Bold, who is very hard to win with, but consistent. And he's got the Kvillikin, who you could argue is also a little bit frustrating in that he's been well fancied and placed on his last three starts. Mm-hmm. But I do think he's sitting on a win. He responded well to Blinkers last time out when third behind the much improved Ergo Sum. Ergo Sum was having his first start for Ben Pauling, having moved from Robin Matthew, and clearly improved enormously to win that, made all the running. The Kvillikin, because of the way he runs his races, came from a long way back that day and wasn't suited by the way the races run, essentially. But the step up and trip will suit him again. He stayed this trip very well, a toaster last time out. He does take a little bit of driving. Harley Cornock, who rides him, works for Martin Keithley and will know this horse well from the gallops. He hasn't ridden a winner so far, but he's only had three rides, and he got a decent tune out of Always Bold 2 starts ago and second at Stratford. So I'm not too worried about him as a rider. He does get the £7 claim as well. And while the Kvillikin will test him a little bit, I think he's got the raw ability to be a fair bit better than a 100 rated hurdler. He's essentially better class if the key can be found to him, and hopefully it can be found tomorrow.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Rory, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
The 120 at Exeter, Pull the Cord, the 250, the Happy Warrior, and the 350 is the Kvillikin.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM. Sean Quinn, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell will be in the studio. We have racing from Exeter and Toaster. We'll have jumps in the afternoon. We also have all-weather racing from Southwell. And we finish the day with an all-weather card on the Poly Track at Kempton. So do tune in for all of that. Plenty to look forward to. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.